International. We know you'll probably care a lot, but Chris and Adrian will probably not. It's why should we care? Why should we care? Why should we care? Why should we care? Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Why Should We Care? I am your host, Chris Tellez, here, as always, with my blood brother, AJ Henderson.
Hey, man.
Guys, thanks for... That was good, AJ.
Thanks. just got to come in with that relaxed...
Yeah, you just had, like, hey, man, written on a piece of paper in front of you just now.
on my hand.
Worked on it. guys, thanks for joining us again. Want to thank everybody who has been listening to the podcast. Of course, spread the word. Yeah, we're begging you. but no, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts can be heard. If you all like the show, tell a friend. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all that shit. Yeah. Today we have a fun guest on the show I'm excited to have on. First, of course, we got to hit you guys with the Daily Beat. AJ, give it to me. What's been going on in your life? I haven't seen you. Now I only see you when we record this podcast now, which is nice.
Actually, I tried last week when the episode wasn't going down. I did take the bus down to your place because I was like, I got some weed. I'm gonna congratulate you on the second place thing.
Did we?
And I didn't tell you that I was gonna do that, but like I knocked on the door and I'm like, well, Suey's not even coming up, so this dude has to be asleep. So I just went home.
Oh, wow. That's a sad story. Yeah. I didn't win, and also we both hung out with nobody that night.
I didn't hang out with nobody. I just went and did another thing.
Yeah, everybody keeps congratulating me. Yeah. Everybody keeps congratulating
every single
me. Even people I don't know walk around. They're like, "Hey, man, second place, not bad. Congratulations." But
it's not first, but it's not third either.
Yeah, it's just like, how did you know?
The internet.
I won in a comedy contest, a stand-up comedy contest, a tournament. But you know, I appreciate it. Yeah. But yeah, I feel weird because I'm always like, you know, I didn't win, right? Just stop congratulating me. I'm dying. You mentioned we had no show last week.
That's right.
Quick shout out to Joe Toler, Austin comic.
We're fucking blowing it.
He was supposed to be on the podcast. We had it booked.
Yeah.
And then I messaged him earlier that day and said, we're still on for tonight. And he was like, what? And so like I was just like, the podcast. He was like, oh, man, I forgot all about it. So find Joe Toler on Twitter and just say, hey, man. Fuck you. I was looking forward to last week's episode,
up,
dude. Yeah, so we just, at that point, decided just not to have one because you guys know the story with my car. It's in real bad shape, and just driving out here is just killing me every day.
That's how life goes.
Yeah. I know how the story with that car is going to end. It's going to end with it dying somewhere and me walking to a corner and calling an Uber and just leaving it wherever it happens.
Where do you think you'll be? Do you think
on the highway.
Do you think you'll be in Austin when that happens? Or half past Tucson?
Why the fuck would I be there?
I don't know. You tell me.
Maybe I'm visiting your mom.
My mom doesn't live in
Tucson.
Does she
not?
That's a bad plan. It's not a good plan.
Maybe she has a secret home you just don't know about.
I wonder. I wonder now.
No, I'm telling you, she does.
She does.
No, but hopefully my car don't break down in that way.
Yeah. Me and my mom tell each other everything, so that's more devastating than what you're trying to imply. But yeah.
Everybody tells their mother everything, AJ. That's not special. Can't brag about that.
For reals?
What's a mom if you can't tell her everything? Happy Mother's Day to all
dad,
of you mothers, by the way. A dad?
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the sode. Our guest today is a gentleman that goes by the name of El Risto.
Risto.
But your name on Facebook has an EL in front of it.
The Risto.
So how dare you correct me?
Facebook doesn't, you know, they didn't check my ID.
So the EL is silent?
Yeah, this is silent L in front
of
the
name. So why don't you just put Risto?
Well, I mean, it's still there. It's just
okay. So Risto, I've known Risto for a while. I think it's really cool that just like a block away from my apartment, he opened a snow cone truck, which I don't know of any other in Austin. If they are, they're pretenders because this place is decked out. It
all
looks awesome.
All the other ones are terrible. They're all the,
it, it looks so cool.
This is a brand new thing that I'm doing here.
Do you just live in it? I would live in it.
Most nights, I'll at least, you know, stay there until, you know, like 3 or 4 in the morning.
And just put out a bing bag.
Yeah.
Snow cone and go to sleep.
It gets really cool in there because all the ice around me and everything, you know. So it's like I have a sleeping bag and, you know, just pull it out, get up on top of the freezer.
You do that, bro?
Knock right out.
People go, why does my, the next day, someone's like, why does my snow cone taste like ass? slept on the freezer.
We have a lot of special flavors there. So okay. A little different than
you. Do you guys have a tiger's blood?
Yeah, we call it Red River.
What exactly is that? What's in?
Strawberry and coconut.
That's not too.
Yeah, it's not really that exotic, but it's like one of the classic, like the flavors everybody thinks of when they think of a snow cone.
Right, you get tiger's blood and.
Root beer float.
Root beer float.
Some ice cream in that bad boy.
In the middle of it. Couldn't call it root beer float without the ice cream.
Yeah, how many flavors do you guys have?
Roughly like 25, 30. We have monthly specials.
Are some of them flavors that you created?
Yeah. Most, like, what we're known for, we do things differently than most other shaved ice places. So we, like, serve it in a, like, color-changing cup. You get a discount.
That's pretty rad.
And you get to keep it.
Yeah, you take the cup home. Like, you know, it's like mobile advertising for us, but also, like, people love them. Like, people take them home, play with them in the bathtub. Their friends come over. They've got these cool color-changing cups they get to, like, bring out and show off. And
How did you get that idea?
I throw mine right in the trash, but I just see people walking away with them sometimes.
Well, that's the
like, why?
Impetus for the color changing cup was just that every other snow cone place that I've ever been to, I'm a snow cone addict first of all.
There's usually those styrofoam ones, and
it's just styrofoam.
They're bad for the environment.
Straight in the trash every time.
You know, I bought some snow cones from some raggedy ass places before, and didn't even think they were raggedy until I saw your snow cone truck. And I was like, this place looks fucking tight. Like, I want to live in this fucker.
I'm not necessarily trying to do it.
Have I said that already?
Better or something like that. It's just like I'm trying to do it what I think is the right way to do it. You know, and it's working out.
Oh man, we'll make sure to post the photo on the account and stuff so people know what I'm talking about. But it's such a trippy thing. Like, I was like, I know this guy smokes weed. He just I'm gonna make
what
a
is
fucking snow
like,
truck.
Like, 1 in 5 people that come up to the snow cone trailer is like, hey man,
could I get a dime bag from you as well?
Like, you got some green in there? Like, I don't know, the trailer's like bright green, you know, there's like color changing lights all over the place.
It's front.
Yeah, I have to hide the hair when I'm in there just because so people think that I'm less of a weed dealer because I have the hair down, like there's just like immediate assumption. But
Come on this podcast to correct that, like right off the bat?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we do not sell weed out of the snow cone.
Have you ever
hit me up later?
Sold a snow cone to cops before?
Oh yeah, I'll have several. I have several.
These
regulars.
Are pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Why don't you step outside real quick?
Yeah, they're really cool with me. They come there and they love it. Hopefully, it'll like have a benefit someday if I get pulled over by one of these cops. That
you're the snow cone guy.
Exactly. Like, you're just hurrying to go get the ice.
Yeah, let's just beat this guy without mercy. It would be funny.
Be a real shame if you lost your snow cone license.
It would be a shame. Apply for it right now. It's a whole ordeal.
What's your best creation that you made?
Is that a
good question? What are your creations?
The fresh fruit flavors are the things that I'm like most proud of. We use actual like fruits and vegetables and blend them up instead of using like a concentrate. Yeah, like one of the most popular ones is the cucumber lime. We use like pickles and pickle juice somewhat. And that's, you know.
Do they have like a broccoli snow?
Not yet.
Don't.
Yeah, cantaloupe blackberry fresh fruit right now. Fresh orange pineapple.
Nice.
Fresh fruit watermelon with mint on top.
Do you ever think about expanding into like little vodka and that?
Like, yeah, well, so like first of all, being on wheels, we can't get a liquor license. Just like,
that's
the crazy.
Out of the box. Yeah.
Like, wait, why does that?
It's just the way it is. The rules.
So
the game,
you think you're gonna get wasted and drive your food truck
yeah,
around? He's already in a car. Why wouldn't he?
There was a horrible snow cone crash on I-35.
It's very sticky. Very sticky mess.
Delicious wreck.
The better thing about it though, because of our awesome location, right in the parking lot of the Butterfly Bar, we're associated with them, so you can take the snow cones in there, and like discounted pours and stuff like that, so you can get whatever you want in it.
There's a little Italian food place in there called
Patrizzi's, best Italian.
Could you eat your meatballs at your snow cone station?
Yeah, absolutely. We're all like one big happy family. So you for a show at the theater, get some drinks at the bar, have dinner at Patrizzi's, have a little.
Yeah,
you
have like families show up there. I don't like that very much.
Yeah, what do you like, families in general?
Yeah, kids. I think of our street that we live on, just like just the perfect stoner paradise, man. Yeah. Just and so when I see kids around, I'm just like, man, is this kid high?
Well, at least it's like off the street and behind. I mean, like most people don't even know the Butterfly Bar and Patrizzi's are over there unless they're like regulars and or have lived in the neighborhood for a long time.
I guess with the families being around, I just feel like I know I'm always pretty drugged up walking around, and I'm like, man, I wonder how many drugged up adults walked by me when I was a child and I just didn't know.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, hey, what's up?
You guys actually did pretty okay during the winter months, right? Like you stayed open.
Yeah, we stayed open the first couple of seasons. That was the plan was to stay open year round and do hot cocoa in addition to the shaved ice.
That's right.
And we did that and it was successful, but then we thought or we could just close like all the other shaved ice places do for 4 months, and that was awesome. It was like the best decision that we've ever made in snow cones, like closing the doors for 4 months, because I don't know, like made it like a limited quantity kind of thing, I guess, in people's minds. They could only get it a certain time of the year or something.
There you go.
I don't know, when we opened this year, it was
I'm done
like,
with this topic.
We're going to move on right off the bat.
But I will say, go check out his snow cone place if you live in Austin. And I mean,
even if you don't, check it out.
We get a portion of we don't, but no, it's impressive. And yeah, so I've talked to him a couple times and I'm like, man, this guy would be funny on the podcast. Already killing it, by the way. He's like, am I? I don't know.
More but, so than Joe Toler, probably.
Yeah, he wasn't even here.
Yeah.
But all right, so we're gonna get to the topic that you actually brought today. And it's an interesting one. So I'll let you intro it, and then we'll fucking take it to Rift Town, baby.
I want to tell you why you should care about Arrested Development.
Okay. What made you pick this show?
I was talking about the band.
Oh, Arrested Are you serious?
I like that song, Mr. Wendell, you know?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you remember. It was like a 90s song. I think it was like introducing like the idea that homeless people are like
music.
Monsters or something. Was there.
Actually, I've been watching a lot of... Venture Brothers. There's like an episode where like he's a ghost but he's still alive. Like,
Mr. Wendell?
Yeah.
Oh no.
And
shit.
They talk about that. Yeah. He's like this henchman's not getting haunted by Mr. Wendell because he's still alive. And he has to accept that his friend is dead.
Man, I don't get any of the references. Do you guys get the references? Y'all got it?
I do remember.
Okay. Ethan, you remember it too? All right, two of us. Nice. I just needed somebody who didn't know.
That was my attempt at a joke.
I thought you were pulling a switch on me. I was like, is he talking about a different
Arrested
Development?
There is a group
called
that, yeah.
Well, they actually got sued. Arrested Development, the TV show, got sued by the band.
Oh, man.
The name.
Did the band win?
I don't know exactly how. I think it settled.
Yeah.
Like, they end up getting money or whatever. And I mean, because obviously the show continued to use the name. But,
yeah.
They make references throughout the entire series of like legal, quasi-legal things for them when there's other bands on the show or music that they play or anything like that. They'll always like put a like legal disclaimer across the screen or something like that. And that's in a reference to them being sued by the band Arrested Development.
Man, that is already something. I always think I know everything about the show already. That's something I did not know.
That's what's amazing about the show. It's like, the more of a fan of you are, the better the payoff of it is, because it's like some of the jokes and everything are so deep in it. And
yeah.
For someone who has never seen Arrested Development, how would you even describe it to them?
Well, I think the best way to describe it is the opening line, the narrator of it. I think it's
Ron Howard.
Yeah, it's narrated by Ron Howard. He's like doesn't get credited in it at all.
That's what's cool about Ron Howard.
But Arrested Development tells the story of a wealthy family who lost everything and the one son who had no choice but to keep them all together. It's Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah. That's the intro.
It pretty much tells you like everything.
You're just going to do
that. Hilarity ensues.
You guys have a good night.
Yeah, that's out. That's it. Yeah.
And that's good, yeah.
All right. And he's brought notes, which we love when someone brings notes, right, AJ?
Yes, but not sometimes. PowerPoints.
All right. I think it's a combo. All right. Is that all you had?
Yep, that's it. That's no. Have you all ever watched the show before, either of you?
Yeah, I was very into it. I was into it when it, I think it was like around season two. I just bought the DVDs because they were cheap at Target.
Oh, yeah.
And I started watching them in my apartment. And then my crew would come over, like Ian, Tony, Austin. And then we just started watching them, and we all fell in love with the show around season two and caught up.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we were just hooked for a long time. Yeah, it was great.
My dad actually had turned me on to it when it was on actual TV, when it was on Fox, like 2003 or something, like right graduating high school year. Mm-hmm. My dad was a fan of the show and would like try to get me to watch it. And
how so far along was it?
It was in the first season. Oh. It was like right when it came out. Maybe, I guess, I don't know if he started watching it from the beginning or whatever, but I watched a couple of episodes in a row with him. Like, I just happened to be with him at the time that it was airing and fell in love with it then. And then a friend of mine had gotten the DVDs like several years later, because I never like watched every one of them or anything, but I thought it was a really funny show.
Yeah.
And then and then watched them all later, and then I've watched it probably like the whole series like probably 8 or 9 times now.
Yeah, man. It's definitely rewatchable. Yeah. Like, and it's one of those shows that is so good that I'll never forget that feeling of like when it was in its peak, those first 2 years, 3 years maybe, and you're just like, I can't believe this isn't bigger than what it is. Like that special feeling you have, like when you found something that's not the most popular thing, but it should be.
Exactly.
Why is this always about to get canceled? You know, when everyone that I know loves it.
Yeah, well, perhaps it's like some sign of the, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't meet all of the like financial standards or whatever, but
yeah, my first draw to it was seeing David Cross was in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, if he's in it and he's committing to this, this has got to be an awesome script,
right?
He's
so good in it.
Yeah, really. But then I learned about I've discovered a lot of those. I didn't know all those actors before I watched the show. Jason Bateman and
I think I just only knew David Cross from Mr. Show before that.
I saw some actors I was like familiar with their look, but I just didn't ever watch their show. Like, I didn't watch a lot of Jeffrey Tambor stuff. If I did, I just never really paid attention.
Yeah, I mean, he'd been in so many movies. Like, yeah. Thousands.
Just like, there's that guy from everything.
But, yeah, definitely.
He was in that.
In what?
Muppets in Space.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just joking. I wouldn't fucking...
This Muppet bear.
Ethan, could we get
a security guard.
Fact check on that?
it's a fine film. They don't go to space, but it's still pretty good. I'd recommend it.
I never could watch the Muppet movies, man.
No, you didn't like them?
Just the way they looked, I was just like, man, fuck this.
I dug how wacky they were, and they were just always like, let's put on a show.
Oh, totally.
Oh, man. That was their deal. I couldn't stand puppet stuff.
And they were into being friends.
That was great. There was so much great music from the show.
Yeah, good songs.
Especially like when they're walking around like the city, like Muppets in Manhattan. That particular city where those Muppets were. And they're just talking to humans. I was like, what? Why is nobody saying this guy's a Muppet?
Like, why are you being a frog in the city? It's weird.
Why is this so normal?
There's a new Muppet movie coming out that's like supposed to be R-rated or something like that.
No way.
I'd never understood why that was the go-to for the Muppets. Like they needed to like match my dirty language and where I am now. And it's like, no, just like have them just be like into friendships and putting on shows and like you know, like songs with good hooks.
Yeah, I'm attracted to the innocence of them and like the purity of that and like the lesson learning or whatever.
Not everything has to get gritty. You know?
Man, I hate everything about him, and even this moment. I'm just like, whatever. Now I'm gonna if I'll hit my Muppet stage way late in life, and I'll be like, oh, I get what the whole craze was about.
Yeah, one of these days you'll hear Muppets Rainbow Connection, rules. And you'll be like, yeah, like I get it.
What is I don't think so. But all right, back to Arrested Development.
Okay. All right.
So, what else did you want to talk about on the show? Because honestly, we're pretty caught up on. Arrested Development.
See, y'all both like it already, so this is like piece of cake for me right now, and it's like I already have you convinced.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
so.
Well, tell us why we should like it.
For people that haven't seen it, I guess. Or,
I'll say, like, what do you think about the haters on the last season on Netflix, right?
It was several years ago. It was
on Netflix.
2013.
They remixed it recently, which is supposed to be pretty good, but I haven't checked that out.
Awesome. It totally makes a difference.
You did like it.
Yeah. Did you watch the season 4 originally?
I did.
That turned a lot of people off because they like totally shied away from the way that they had done it before. The episodes were a lot longer.
Well, they couldn't get all those people in at the same time.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought it was genius for what they could do. You know, I mean, there's like, once you get past the, everybody's like, 8 years older now or something like that, which they also joke about in the show, that it, you know, it still had the jokes and everything, but it felt different because like the timing was different. Each character was like getting their own show. And then when with the remix version of it, they're back to like the longer or shorter episodes, more of them, this more similar flow, everything in chronological order, and it really makes it a lot funnier, even though it's all the same footage and everything. They do add in little pieces of things, like, you know, characters off camera, they'll like put new words in their mouth or something like that, that kind of associates the storyline a little better.
I have to check it out. Man, what were your favorite things about the show, like, personally?
Well, so, like, I love it so much because of just, like, how many jokes, it, like, pound for pound, it's, like, the funniest thing that I've ever seen because it's just, like, everything is a joke, whether it's, like, a sight gag or it's, like, this deep, like, foreshadowing. They do so much foreshadowing about things later. I always love,
like, when they edit to, like, a small, like, scene that could be, like, 1 or 2 seconds, like a quick glimpse at something else going on, but like even just like the music they'll play for that 1 to 2 second clip is always so funny.
Yeah,
like,
it's got they've got their own songs.
They use a lot of corny music.
So like that Christmas song from Charlie Brown. Like
when it shows like George Blue Sr., like it showed like a development plan he had, like a house on a sea or something, and it just showed it and it just was playing some like innovative music, like I don't know how to even describe it. It was just like the kind of music you'd hear in a work presentation, but from the 80s or something. It was just like that 2 seconds, and it's just like a stupid picture of a house floating or like above above water and shit. It just looks so dumb.
They cut away to like they use like the camera footage from the security cameras all the time, and like family photos or what the websites that, like they had several real websites that were. Like on the internet,
like
that were just,
visit.
But they were, you know, they would only like just like clip to it one time. Yeah. You know, you would see it for 2 seconds on something, and if you were to actually like go to it, then it was there with like a bunch of information you could dig pretty deep into. I love things like that. I don't know. They were one of the first to do things like that. You know, it came out in 2003, I think.
Yeah.
So like originally aired from 2003 to 2006. So that was like before, you know, things like 30 Rock and Community and stuff like that, that took a lot of those like cues away from the way that the camera work was, the, you know, shooting on location, the, you know, all the flashbacks and archival stuff and everything like that.
Man. I was at work the other day. We were just talking about Tobias Fuhrke, just looking up clips of his at work, like the shit with the boiled egg in the refrigerator.
Oh,
like, who ate my boiled egg? Or, like fucking snaps.
He's just really angry about it.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite character on the show. Like, I like you know, it's one of those casts where you're like, this is my favorite character. Wait, this is my favorite character. They're just all awesome.
When him and Job are in the room together, something.
Well, they're
really
the two most ridiculous ones. Yeah. But when I think of all the things Tobias went through, like he went through the most physical shit, like than anyone. Like when he had those hair plugs, and he's like dying, but he doesn't want to get rid of the hair plugs, even though they're draining the life out of him. Like that was like one of my favorite moments in all his seasons. Yeah, like weird phase he went through. Like Michael was afraid to be with him because he looked like he was fucking dying.
Shameless plugs of his absentia or something.
Yeah, then he's like, give it up for your Uncle Teabag. And he just says, well, he's looking like he's dying. It was, that's like burned in my head forever.
They have a fundraiser for him, but they don't know what like the name of it was. So it's like TBA or something.
TBA
like that,
or TB. Yeah, yeah, like to be announced. Yeah.
It just like went on like that for years.
It was like, also when he was like Mrs. Featherbottom and like he was revealing to everyone that he was, but like no one cared.
Yeah, like everybody knew already.
He was still like just doing all the chores. Yeah.
Except for maybe wouldn't, she wouldn't acknowledge it at all. So she could just demand him to like iron her shirt. Or,
did he say like, when he was serving breakfast, he said like, in my country, they call these little bitch. A banger in the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole Miss Featherbottom, the idea that they had like to turn him into a Mrs. Doubtfire character was like genius.
It was like trying to Mary Poppins down to the second floor.
He's not a good enough actor to pull it off. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, he was also like growing like stubble like very obviously, and no one would ever point it out.
Yeah, it was such a ridiculous character. Like when he wanted to be an actor, he just started talking like an actor more. Like when Lindsay broke up with him, he was even overacting that. And he's like, "We had some great times." Like just like kind of getting emotional. It seems so fake. And I'm like, yeah, that character. And then Job is like the other. like standout though magician thing.
So and good.
Failed magician.
Yeah. Oh my god, everything they do with that character. And this episode is just spoilers for anyone who hasn't, but if you haven't seen it now,
yeah,
check it out.
Been out for ages. And there's new, you know, the remix season just came out like 2 weeks ago. The season 5 will start at the end of this month.
Now, with everything that just is happening, because it's funny, because we were talking about this outside, but we're doing this episode and just talking about how much we love the show. And then yesterday got like all this negative publicity because of what went down with that group interview. Right. Is that going to distract, like, hurt you watching the show at all?
I mean, you know, I'm definitely still going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I can't help it.
What? Yeah, like, I can't, you know. Yeah, not watch it.
I just wonder what it's going to do to the show or its reputation and all that.
I don't know. I think that like if Netflix hasn't like fired him or something like that, or like Amazon did for his other show, Jeffrey Tambor, for his other show, Transparent, that they're probably not going to. And people like Jason Bateman have said, like, if he goes, I go.
I did see that.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't know. What,
Mitch Hurwitz? That's the guy?
Yeah, Mitch Hurwitz,
like,
creator.
He said that he was kind of, like, they had a cast meeting about that, and everyone was just kind of okay with it. Like, they said, like, well, you know, it's not happening here.
He was just waiting in the hallway the whole time. Yeah. All right, bring him in. Jeffrey.
Act.
No more yelling at people, okay? Family.
Chill out.
Yeah, it is weird with everything, you know, everything that happens right now. Yeah. But I, you know, it's like Arrested Development's coming. Wow, I didn't expect some shit to come out about that show.
I know. Yeah, so like probably perfect time. I mean, like this, I don't think they ever said what time the event happened where Jeffrey Tambor yelled at Jessica Walter or whatever. I don't know when it happened.
If it's old, but, it's fine.
You know, like, I mean, yeah, for all we know, this could have happened in like season 2 or something.
This could have happened
like
when they were kids.
And we have loved the show for you. I don't know. Well, I'm not sure. I don't really have a lot to say.
You're doing just exactly what those douchebags are doing.
I think I'll still definitely watch the show. I'm sure I'm still going to enjoy the show. I mean, you know, George Sr. is not like the only reason to watch it. Every character on that show.
It's nothing
is amazing,
like we know them on a personal level. It's just like you've been fans for a show for so long. How are you not going to check out this new season, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like the interesting thing that's happening now is we have to deal with, there's like a lot of popular culture.
You do.
That requires, that inside has a lot of great moments, but at the same time, there was some suffering that happened with it. So how do you reconcile the two?
Right.
You know? Yeah. And then that's what we're dealing with.
Very challenging.
I'm just like, I'm still going to watch it, you know?
I want to see it because, like, it's a great comedy team.
It's like when that stuff happened with Brand New and they broke up because of the guy getting Me Too'd. I'm like, whew, I was just about to order a shirt online. Not anymore, I'm not. Like, I was like, woo! Like, that one almost cost me some money. I was going to get the new album on vinyl, and I did not.
Just got it on CD instead.
I was just listening to that on Spotify, private somewhere where no one could hear it. Even the is that Brand New, bro? Is that coming out of your ears?
Yeah, I'm listening to it, and they won't know.
Yeah, no, I'm just glad I didn't buy that stuff because I was like, man, it'd be weird to just be out in Austin somewhere wearing a Brand New shirt or some shit. Someone's bound to call you out. What, bro? The song's got me through suicide depressions.
Wait, is something the matter with Brand New?
I haven't heard. I don't follow the news. But yeah, I don't know if it'll affect it to that level. It seems like people are still going to watch it.
Yeah, I think people will still. I think it'll still be a success. And I think that probably the bigger question is, like, will people watch it or will they go through with like a season 6 or a movie or anything like that that's been rumored about for so long?
I guess maybe they might kill off Jeffrey Tambor and and Michael's character.
And then they'd have to kill Jason off Oscar Bateman as well. It's like the twins would have to go down together.
So yeah. Fun character.
It'd be cool if they tried to.
Character. Oscar, I love Oscar. Yeah, I like him way more than I like George.
I guess they just have to kill off all the Mel Bluths.
I guess so. Like maybe he can take over as the.
We still got Job main in the house. What am I saying?
Yeah, he's been all right. Yeah,
but Buster. He was part of that interview.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
No. What did he do wrong?
No, I don't know. I barely read it.
Anybody that like talked over her or anything that was in the wrong, so it was like, you know,
that's how it goes.
I think Michael Cera wasn't there and was probably like, whew, like I missed that one.
Yeah, no.
From what I understand, it like weren't like, I guess that's what actors do. They just kind of like you ruin this take, or like Like, it seems like Michael Richards used to do that a lot, really. Like,
but how would we know, over. Man? How would we know?
We like, wouldn't know.
Like, yeah, it just it, like we don't know how bad he gave it to her, but apparently she said it was pretty bad.
Damn.
So,
yeah. Well, and the issues yesterday weren't even as much about that, I don't think, about like what had happened in the past or her acknowledging it or him apologizing or anything like that. I think it was more like, well, these guys were just trying to like make it okay and trying to like let the public know that they had his back. And they were doing it like over her crying about it and trying to tell her her story too, you know, and that's
good. Might want to keep that story under the rug as much as possible until these episodes drop. May 29th. Rest of Development on Netflix.
Let it get critical acclaim first and then.
Yeah, let's get see how many awards we could get in the bag. God damn, yeah, that's all. It's funny because this podcast, obviously the best comedy podcast in Austin, but right now we're talking about serious stuff, and we need to crank it to a different way.
Snow cone stand.
Let's get back to the snow cone stand. Do you have any Arrested Development-themed snow cones?
I have yet to make one. That's a great idea, though. Oh, now's perfect time.
Do you have any ideas?
Maybe like our
you
next
should do it
special.
And then just be like, hand them and go, look, I left the tambour sauce out.
I think I would just like completely ignore
like,
that.
Like a maybe you should just be like, it might be in there. Like whatever flavor you asked for.
That'd be good, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe I can do some kind of illusion or an illusion.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I could do some kind of, you know, I got to
go. Oh, yeah.
The banana stand, that's easy. The banana, with the banana flavored
drink. Have you ever thought about doing like with an event around the corner, whether it's a premiere or like a sports game or something like that? You do a snow cone theme of the, like, you know, there's a Super Bowl game. You're like, Super Cup, it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, we've done
some. Don't use that one. That sucks.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see when I open
we've
my
done,
own
we
stand.
We do event stuff. We do like a lot of, you know, when the bar's having certain things or there's certain events going on there, we'll have specials for it. We also, we try to keep a regular monthly special, but there's also, you know, just like random ones that we come up with or, you know, so we,
something
yeah.
I was going to ask you earlier about your creations. It's like, have you ever made one and been like, man, this is good, and then like you sell it to like a kid and he goes, oh yeah, I'll take that, and then he eats it, he goes like, ugh, this tastes like shit. Like right in front of your face. You're yeah, like, man, I came up with that.
Yeah, there, well, I don't know, there's one flavor that we definitely didn't come up with, but it confuses people all the time. It's like the Coolickle flavor is what we call it. Some people call it like a Piccadilly. Or
the Coolickle flavor?
Yeah, it's like we take
dill. More like the Coolo flavor.
Yeah.
It means butthole in Spanish.
It's like dill pickles with like cherry Kool-Aid mixture.
Oh, that sounds awful.
And yeah, I mean, I'm pickle. Like, I'm a cherry snow cone kind of guy originally, you know, and I mean, I get crazy now.
I don't understand.
Do you have any with meat in them?
Yeah. What? No, it's complete. Like, all of our shit's vegan. And
oh, vegetarian. Do you have any with fake vegan meat in it?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants like a savory drink, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. Even the ones, even the flavors, like we had a peanut butter and Nutella for a while, and some people were like fucking crazy about it, but I don't know, I thought that was disgusting.
Oh, you can do ham water.
Yeah, hot ham water.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
That's a good one.
That is Arrested Development.
When Lindsay cooks for the first time, she's like cooking for a party, and she like just like
puts that sounds vaguely familiar.
Like a canned ham in a pot of water, and she's like, Michael, look what I've done. And it's like, sipping the water. She's like, I'm going to call it hot ham water.
I don't remember, but
serves it to a bunch of guests, I think, or something.
I want to work in your snow cone jug, but what I want to do is I'm going to bring like a little toaster oven, and I'll make hot pockets in it.
I've got a little hot plate in there.
Okay, well, I'll make hot pockets only when I'm there. Okay. That way when people see me and they're like, oh, Hot Pockets. Chris is there.
Yeah.
Can you legally sell Hot Pockets? Can you get like an item from another store and then serve it like as a product that you have?
I don't see why not. I mean, like, you know, like I make chocolate syrup, and you know, it's not like I'm making my own chocolate or something like that.
Well, I was right about that. My follow-up question was, do you make your own chocolate?
So, you know, I mean,
like it has to be like an established distributor, I feel like.
Yeah.
You can't just like,
I mean, I don't like, you know, we buy things from like the grocery store and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, the rest of the development stuff is fun to talk about, but I'm having more fun talking about your snow cones.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
You look mildly offended when I said that. I didn't mean that to go off
as well.
Is that right? Do I suck at talking about fucking
about
Arrested Development?
Arrested Development.
Can I see your notes?
Like, yeah.
AJ, take over for a little bit. Let me go through these bad boys.
Did you like the guest stars on?
So that's another. So like that's one thing I guess we didn't really touch on a lot. Like who all was some on good the ones. Show? Yeah. And it was like an insane list of people that. Like most of them, you know, all the main characters, most of them weren't like huge actors at the time, like, besides older ones, I guess.
Like Tony Wonder for sure.
Yeah.
Like when Ben Stiller would come on.
Tony Wonder and Christine Taylor, his wife. His wife.
Oh, this is good stuff, man. Why don't you just start reading this? Is it because we were talking over you too much?
No, I just don't, you know, like I'm going to like read off of a piece of paper or something like that.
This is, you. Can I go at it?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. This is why it's so good. According to Risto, minus the L, cult classic. Everything is a joke. Oh, you did talk about that. Yeah. Insanely quotable. Yeah.
There's so many.
That's true. Everything is so I've made a huge mistake. There's always money in the banana stand. I'm afraid. I just blew myself. And that's why you always leave a note. Marry me.
I love that joke.
Yeah, these are all good.
Always leave a note.
Say goodbye to these.
It's like in the background when you see the refrigerator, like in any shot, there's always like a little note on it from like George
petty
Michael.
Lessons, yeah.
It's like, I'm out of milk. I'll get more or something.
Man, no touching is a huge one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I hear the jury's still out on science.
Joe says that.
Maybe you got a stew going. That's right.
Carl Weathers.
Yeah, Carl Weathers. Maybe you got a stew going.
It's like anything. Like you got a little piece of bone there. You got a little bit of water.
Which one's the I'm a monster? Going. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's Hook. Yeah. The Hook.
Yeah. Like several times throughout. And he's like, I'm a monster.
Steve Holt.
Steve Holt.
Man, you know, I like the Steve Holt one where he, when they did come back on the Netflix season. And it just shows him he's like a janitor or some shit.
Yeah, it's like a pest control. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they talk on the phone, and Job's just like, you didn't even call me on my birthday, whatever. Yeah. And he curses him out, and he hangs out, and it reveals it was Steve Holt's birthday on that day.
Job says to his like 20-something-year-old son, he's like, thanks for the birthday card I didn't get for the last 30 years. Yeah. This was hard for Steve to take on his actual birthday.
Yeah. I loved what they did with that character. Like, he aged, was losing hair, got fatter.
Like, didn't recognize Job was like talking to him at the bar for like an hour and a half, didn't realize it was his son. Yeah, they joked about that really well because he really did look completely different in that the comeback 7 years later, more so than most people.
Yeah.
There's the one where, like, I'm a horrible monster, but, like, I remember, like, Job had a line where, like, him and Buster were connecting, and he's like, sometimes life, like, eats your hand and turns you into a horrible monster or something like that. Like insulting his brother while he was also bonding with him.
Like, in that, there's really not a weak link in the cast.
There really isn't.
And each actor is given plenty of opportunities to shine. There's foreshadowing, callbacks, and references galore to both in-universe and real-world pop culture. Breaks all the walls. Talks to the camera, pleads with fans.
Yeah, like when it was getting canceled.
Oh, yeah, the real websites, too. Yeah, like when they had the save, what was George Oscar website?
I'm Oscar.com.
I'm Oscar.com. I remember going to that website. It was legit. Yeah,
like all of those were like real world callbacks, too, with that, like with, so their lawyer, the family's lawyer, Barry Zuckerkorn was played by the Fonz.
Yeah.
And it's so like on Happy Days, which also the narrator was on, so there's like a lot of Ron Howard, so there's like a lot of jokes between the two of them,
because they brought in what's his name too,
so like on the show
Scott
like,
Baio.
Scott Baio, yeah, so Henry Winkler got too old, they bring in Scott Baio to like as a younger hip it up
and that was like a good play on words,
blah blah blah. Yeah, god, that's one of the most brilliant things.
They showed like Henry Winkler actually like jumping over a shark while he's skiing.
Right,
which is like the reference about TV shows when at
the
point
they did that on the Happy Days
when they
episode,
were
yeah.
when they were like rumored of canceled and on the verge of getting canceled, and like they were very much like pleading, like the narrators like tell your friends, you know, and like they do all like all pull out all the tricks out of their bag. They've got like the like a 3D effect where like Job like throws an egg or something. It's like, put on 3D glasses now. And like,
oh yeah,
it's a bad trick. Yeah.
Isn't Buster Job throwing something at the camera?
Yeah,
was it?
Exactly, yeah. It was like, you know, just like pleading with people. They were talking about, I guess there were rumors that Showtime or HBO were going to pick up the show before it got canceled from Fox.
Oh, I remember
so
that.
They'd be like, somebody would be like, it's Showtime. And be like, no, I don't think so.
They would never take this.
Or, yeah. The HBOs aren't interested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all the references to it. But
that was like in the last season, right? Where they were really just going for
it. That was in season 3, I think. Okay. And they were like struggling to stay on air because they weren't, you know, I think it was hard for new people to get into when it was live on television. You couldn't go back and watch like the first couple of episodes or something because there's so many storylines that they set up the joke in this episode and then it pays off in this episode and then it gets a new meaning and pays off in this episode. And like, you know, it's just, that's like one of the best things about it too, to me, is that you can watch the show a million different times and find something new every single time that you watch it. And like all, you know, like, I think it really rewards the attentive viewer. You know?
Yeah, it's like really smart, but it's super goofy.
Yeah,
and it just is callback after callback after callback, and they're all like enjoyable too. Yeah.
But even if you're not like paying attention to it on that level, just listening to it in the background, or like you're not like getting the subtlety of it, there's still like the hilarious, just like in your face jokes too that always land. You know?
You know what character I got to mention? I also love is Tony Wonder.
Yeah,
it's like the fact that like he's always just like waiting somewhere. To hear the word wonder so he could explode, and then it always does a callback of the same scene but shows where he was hitting and him just like listening. Like, he was like in a bag, like a beanbag at one point. Yeah, and he's just
it was in season four, I think. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole season four that they did, or one of the whole stories and the whole series in general, was Tony Wonder and Job's characters trying to convince each other that they were gay and into
that was
each
in
other.
The most recent one. Yeah,
that was in season 4.
That was the best part and of the like last season,
everything that one of them says. They're just like same.
well, I love the pamphlet that came out for that where he has like, I'm here, I'm queer, and now I'm over here. Like it was still a trick.
Job tries to lock him in or something like that. And he pops out. He's like, I'm here. I'm queer. And now I'm in a chair. Yeah. It's like, damn it.
He would always like whisper the whole trick to somebody's ear. Like, it's a secret. And you'll like, you could just hear him loudly whispering every detail. I didn't know when he said that, I like that thing. It said, "Mom was called," or the special was called "Use Your Illusions," but they said some band has it, so I think I'm going with "Use Your Illusions" too.
If you want to bring an illusion, you know, with an A, like,
yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah, man, that character was awesome. Like, he was great. Martin Short's character was great. Yeah, the bullet,
the uncle, yeah,
yeah.
when he was like, when you didn't know, like, he couldn't move any of his like body, and he almost fell off like the balcony.
Yeah, he's sitting on the balcony because he thinks that big dude's behind him, and he's just talking.
It's like, oh, it's okay. Dragon's got me.
He goes, dragon's inside, or he's in the restroom. He's like, oh god.
He just like, yeah, does that like high pitched yelp, and he's like, oh my god,
shoot me, dragon.
Yeah. All right. Let me see what else you got here. You have your favorite episode is season 2, episode 1. Delmore Michael leaves. Michael denounces his family after George Sr. escapes to Mexico with his secretary Kitty. But when Michael announces plans to move to... I'm just love that I'm reading your shit. you didn't get to it.
No, well, I was trying to like,
I'm not going to say. You hear me reading it. You want to just tell us?
Summarize. Yeah, so like season 2, episode 1.
there are notes.
That, yeah, well, that's why I got the notes. So I can summarize it a little bit here. So, Yeah, Michael like finds out...
I'm impressed with your notes because like you bothered to use the other side of the paper. Like, too. Like,
oh, I didn't have a stapler.
We're so blown away by it, we're not going to let you use them.
I'm saying, that's very socially conscious.
I had to like shrink the font down to get it to fit. We were back and forth because it was 3 pages originally. Like, I was like, I'm not showing up. There were 3 pages. They're going to give me so much shit about it.
You had to wait for the first side to print. And then, flip it over in time. Yeah. And then, like, yeah.
I apologize. AJ's on drugs.
It's true.
He's on the crank.
All right. So in the episode where the one where Michael leaves, in the last season, the end of the last season, we find out that George Sr. had faked a heart attack to get out of prison and then escaped with Kitty and ran off to Mexico. And I think that might have been the first time that we get to see like the very literal doctor that tells like they're like, you know, how is he talking? He's like, I'm afraid we lost him.
Yeah.
And it's like, They all start crying and thinking he's dead and everything. And he's like, oh, we don't know where he went. And so, like, you see that callback in that in this episode. And then also, it's the first episode where Tobias, finds the Blue Man Group and, like, paints himself blue, thinking that he found...
Sad. A place for sad men.
Yeah, exactly. And so he gets himself all painted up in the episode, and then I think the lawyer, Barry Zuckerkorn, is driving and can't see him at night, runs him over.
Oh, right, because he was blue like the sky, like the night sky.
And the doctor comes in and is like, they're like, not this guy again. And they're like, it looks like he's dead. And they're like, all start crying and everything.
No,
and
I remember Job wasn't crying, but he was trying to cry.
The tears aren't coming.
The tears aren't coming.
But the doctor's like, no, it just looks like he's dead. There's blue paint all over him or something. there's like two of those in that episode, which are like, just what hits one of my favorite, like, little characters thing. Buster gets volunteered for the army by his mom to like a Michael Moore lookalike.
Right.
I got these from army. Like all those stuffed animals.
It's so funny that they had his mom's blue seal, and then it was a loose seal that got him. Yeah. And then that seal belonged to Job from a magic trick.
That's right, that he just released into the ocean
when he was work. Just like, I gotta find that seal, at least remove that incriminating bow tie.
It has
a bow tie on the seal.
It had gotten a taste for mammal blood from like a cat that he had put in a box with it during one of his magic tricks. and it's like, what, didn't Job get married to, like, on a dare? He gets married to Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler, yeah. She was like really
she's
crazy.
A seal dealer.
Oh, is that how
it... Yeah, and I think that, like, some of the seals came in that point of it. There was so much foreshadowing of it. Like, the whole thing with, like, when Buster visited Lupe's house and he sees, like, his big hand chair from when he was a kid. And he's like, I used to have one of those. Well, I wonder where it is. And it's like, the narrator's like, it's right there. He's like, I never thought I'd miss a hand so bad.
I remember that. There was some real obvious ones with Buster.
That was also like the episode that he thought he was in Mexico, right? And he just like
gets out of the car and he's like, oh, he gets on that trampoline, like must hide from the hot Mexican sun.
And he only made it like a couple blocks.
It's like as soon as he gets in, he's like starts recording. He's like, mother, when you see this, I've already gone. And then he's just like, oh, it's tired in here. And he's like, passes out. Like 5 minutes later, wakes up and gets under Lupe's trampoline. And she's like, oh, I have to take care of Buster now. And he's like, I'm trying to find a place to live. You know, like laying under the thing. Ends up going to work with him.
Yeah, that's right. He becomes a cleaner, right?
Yeah, I think. I don't remember exactly what he was doing.
Oh, is it like a construction stuff? I don't know.
No, I think it was, he was like.
It was some Mexican job.
He was like waiting on them or brought them food or something like that. But it was like he was working at his mom's apartment where he was living. And didn't realize it because he thought he was in Mexico. And so then he like walks in and it's his actual apartment that he lives in. That's the end of that.
What's her name? The other Lucille?
Lucille 2, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, she was awesome. I think
I just remember that time she yelled at somebody. She was like, it's his loss. It's his loss! Like, just the way she did that line, it was the best.
Her the two Lucilles bantering to one another is always really great. Because they're like, really like classy about
Job was,
it. You know?
When Job was crashing at her place, that was like the best as well. Like, he fell in love with her.
With spicy club sauce. Like, he's reading the menu sauce to her.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest scenes to me when they're all sitting at the restaurant.
Like the fourth season wasn't totally great, but I did like the joke that he kept like taking these roofies that would make him forget like the next day.
He got a roofie cycle.
Like so much so that it became Christmas and he had no idea why. He was just like buying more.
Yeah, it shows him like at the stand, like every time he's like picking up an orange and like tossing it into the air or something. Yeah. And then one time he like goes to reach down, he already has one in his hand. And he's like, oh, that's weird, you know.
There's another joke that they do in there. Tell me if you know it. There's this scene where they walked in and David Cross, you know, he's like sharing the rooms with Michael or with George Jr. or whatever. George Michael. And whenever they walk in there, it kind of looks like it's like a kid in there because he has his legs and he's like laying belly down, but he's like kicking him up and down.
He's got him like up in the air.
Yeah, he just kicks him like a child would just be kicking him. And that was like an inside joke that they had. And apparently that's in a few different scenes. Someone's always just kicking their legs like a kid. But it's just funny. Is he, you don't know who it is. It's just Tobias in there doing that. You would think it's like a younger person.
He like takes the headphones off. It's like playing like a thing. It was like, there's a new daddy in town or something like that. It's like playing music.
Oh, man. Remember when he painted himself into that background of that wall to follow Lindsay around?
They all over that there's like one or two episodes where it's blue and you don't see him in the background at all until like the end of the scene. They'll let the camera stay longer than the foreground character just so you see him like riding on a truck in the background.
Oh, or, yeah.
Like, up against like a column. Or,
there's that one where he's like painted like silver and black.
It was diamond rub or something like that.
He's sitting
a million fucking diamonds, Michael. Like,
that's right. I think when he sits next to his wife, who the date didn't go well, and he's just like, that guy's a jerk. Like,
I like when he's just like he didn't get a call back, so he was just like crying in the shower.
That's the classic one. He's just biting on the sponge.
Yeah, he's like broken up about
like completely
it.
Completely bald, but he uses like Lindsay's like relaxing conditioner or something like that because it's supposed to help. It helps her like sense of confidence or something like that. And he gets out of the shower after just like rubbing it on his bald head, and he's like looks in the mirror, and like Lindsay walks by and she's like, you look nice. And he's like, yeah, that does work wonders for the confidence.
Even the way the door kind of shut, well, he was like, thanks, and she just moved on. He just looked really funny. That was a thing with Tobias specifically. I noticed you also put that's your favorite character.
Tie of Job and Tobias. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pick one between.
I feel like that's probably for the majority of people.
Yeah, so always funny. My girlfriend loves Buster the most. I've heard a few people say that.
I'm a Buster.
Buster has good moments. Yeah.
I mean, his whole storyline with the hook and everything like that, but in being a mother's boy or mother boy. Like,
oh yeah.
Mother boy thing.
What about the what was that? Jean Parmesan. Like that character is really great.
Martin Mull.
That she always cracks up whenever he surprises her, and she like just dies laughing. Like every time.
He's caught off guard and loves it.
That one where he gets the money and he's just like, I'm not even gonna count it, and he walks away. And then later he's just the fireman putting out a fire, and he turns around and he's like, Gene Parmesan. He goes, I counted it.
Seriously?
Yeah, that character's out. There's like so many characters I know we're probably forgetting. But
Super Dave, he was good as Jeffrey Tambor.
He had a camera on him. Yeah.
And like every time that Job tries to bond with his father, just, like he's just like unresponsive about it, and just like James Lipton from Inside this actor studio.
Oh yeah, that was
guard.
Great. The prison stuff.
Yeah.
God, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, so many good people.
So many.
Came in. Zach Braff. In it.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah. Patrice O'Neill.
Patrice O'Neill. That was one of my favorite.
Odenkirk was on it.
All of the Arrested Development is when, I think it's like one of the first episodes too. But it's George Senior hires. I can't remember, T-Bone, I guess, when he gets out, he hires him into the banana stand.
Yeah.
And it's Patrice O'Neill, and he's like,
he's just stuffed in there with those two kids
behind them. And Michael like rides up, it's like Michael goes to like their storage unit gets burned down like to hide some evidence or something like that, and so he rides up and he sees T-Bone there, and he's like, Michael went to do some investigation work, and he like rolls up and he's like, did you burn down the storage unit? And he's like, most definitely.
Yeah, it's just like real fast.
Yeah, like no question whatsoever, like most definitely.
Like, well, didn't maybe shut him down one time when they were like she was doing the math, but she was like stealing money, and he was like, "That math don't add up." And then, like, she said something
take
like,
a dollar,
"He's a criminal or
banana.
Something." Like, she just disregards him real quick because he's an arsonist. All right. Well, we are at that time. We are a little over, actually. But before, no rush. We play things loose here.
Yeah.
Most people have stopped listening. Nice. But do you have anything else you want to say about Arrested Development before we put a cap on it?
I'd just say, like, if you haven't watched it, give it a chance. Start at the beginning. Like, the jokes really pay off. They're worth it. I think it's the funniest, like, pound-for-pound comedy television show that I've ever seen that, you know. And I think that, like, even if you, like, are don't, you know, I mean, I'm surely you've seen all the characters, like Michael Cera came from there. He wasn't famous before that, you know, and like now he's been in a million different things. Or like you, I think all of the characters have gone on to do such major things and gotten so many fans individually that it gives a lot of people that might not have watched the show a reason to watch it just because like all these people are super awesome and they were all together with this.
Yeah, it was great ensemble.
Little Love, Better Off Ted. Should check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portia de Rossi did that show.
I remember we watched a few episodes. It was really funny.
Really?
Yeah. It was good.
I need to watch it.
But I agree. I would have to put it in my top three for sure of shows of all time. Yeah.
So funny.
Absolutely.
All right. So thanks for coming on the podcast, Risto. If you want a snow cone, go check out this guy's snow cone.
Snow truck. Flat top shaved ice.
Can you give him a discount for referencing the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do. Right, yeah, say anything about why should we care, and I'll definitely hook it up.
All right, cool. And you can follow him on Instagram or Twitter on ATX Snoco. That's SNOCO. Those are only two places, I guess. I'm like, just that? Twitter, Instagram, you ain't got a Snapchat?
Twitter, Instagram. We're on Facebook at ATX Snoco also.
All right.
No Snapchat, but I hate doing the social media
shit. And that's on Manor and Cherrywood here in Austin.
Yeah, it's on Manor Road in the parking lot of the Butterfly Bar across the street from the Haymaker.
And you know what? If you're there, send me a buzz. I'll come over and have a snow cone with you.
Walk away.
I live that close.
You'll probably see Chris just walking by throwing his dog shit in my trash can.
I do that. Is that okay? Is that the compost?
You put it in the compost, and it's in a compostable bag, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like dumping that bag out.
What's in the other one?
Recycling.
Yeah, yeah, I can't recycle shit.
Every single thing that we have is either compostable or recyclable that we give to the customers.
So oh, man. This is how I found out. You're like, Chris, fucking always with the dog.
That's the whole reason
shit.
I wanted to come on here was just so I could publicly
stop putting
shame
dog shit in the compost.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, finally, a perfect forum.
I see your
Applebee's car
side to go bags, and they're not compostable.
You see how cute that dog is. She's worth it, man.
She is.
No. Okay. As for us, like I said, follow us on Twitter at WSWC Podcast.
Yeah, do that.
Let's see. Last thing for us, I'll be headlining the Velveeta Room June 25th and June 26th. I don't even know if I know anybody in San Francisco, but I'll be doing the Comedy Central Clusterfest. I'll be on June 1st on the Up Next show. So if you are in town for that festival, hit me up. Other than that, let's get to our care meter. AJ, 1 to 10. 1, you don't care. 10, you absolutely care. What do you give this, Arrested Development?
I'm giving this the rare 10. Man, I love this show.
It is cheap.
It's such a good show.
I want to check it out. You know, I kind of want to take a point away off because of Jeffrey Tambor and causing that weird moment in our episode tonight where we just all were like, wow, this is too real for us. But we powered through it. I'm still going to give it a 10. That's how good the show is. I can't hold it against them.
I do not condone these actions, but goddamn, is this a good show.
I don't condone them, but you know what? Can't wait for the 29th.
I'm
going to just try to block that portion out of my brain while I watch it. Risto, congratulations on getting the rare double 10.
Awesome,
I don't even know if we've ever done that before.
It
might be the first one. We won't research it, but thanks again, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. International.